I came across it earlier this week, and I thought to share with us. From Pastor Kojo Imade. He was also quoting, I forgot the name of the bishop. All right. And it's quite important. So a particular bishop went hunting with Reverend Mark Atkins. Some of you know Reverend Mark Atkins. Someone I respect a lot. One of Bro Higgins' proteges. And so the bishop went hunting with Reverend Mark Atkins. And so they were in the forest for a long time, for about 6 hours. And so he kept asking, when are we going to see the animal? You know, when you're in the forest for 6 hours, you're wondering, are we going to kill anything? And so he said on the 6th hour, Reverend McCacken said, get ready. The animal is about to come out. And so he said, how did you know? He didn't ask the question. He just said, in his heart, how would you know when the animal is going to come? We've been here for 6 hours. So the Reverend made a sound, you know, something, and he kept making it for about 5 minutes. I said, so have you cocked your gun? Because the animal is going to come out. And truly to his word, the animal came out upon a lot of, whatever the sound was. I don't think I got it. And they shot the animal. The hunting was done. So he asked Reverend Makakis that, how did you know the animal was going to come out? And said something very profound, which I want to share with us. And I think you should reflect this all your life. Said, the sound I made, or the sound he made, is the exact sound the prey of that animal makes. The animal that, whatever the animal feeds on, the animal is a predator, right? When its prey is caught in a trap, it makes that sound. So when the animal heard that sound, it had to come out, meaning the trap had worked. Does it make sense? And he said something, Reverend McCacken said something, so you be careful of the sounds you make. There are things you are going to say that will attract demons. There are folks who go all their life and they keep saying, I know the concept of Christian Science has been messed up in some quarters where people just talk and then just say, whatever you say, you manifest it. But really, the Bible is strong on what you say. You say God inhabits the praises of his people. So who inhabits the confusion? Who inhabits the complaints? Who inhabits the murmurings? Not God. Are you listening to me? Whatever sound you put out will attract something. And sometimes, believers talk, they talk down on God's power, they talk down on what God is doing, thinking they are being realistic. But in the meantime, they're actually talking like a prey. They're actually talking like a prey. And the devil is going to come out and say, this one has been caught. The psalmist says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strength. That is, through the praise of his people, God has taught the children to praise him. Then he continues, says, so that he can destroy the enemy and oppose the avenger. That's Psalm 18. Amen. He has ordained his praise in our mouth so that he can use that to destroy the enemy. So if you don't know how to talk, keep quiet. Don't say word does not please God. Don't say what is not your story. Are you listening to me? All right, that's not part of our teaching. I just thought to say that. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Okay. We are on a teaching. Take off your shoes. Yeah? How many of you have shoes on? Take off your shoes. Celestial. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. You should be able to recite that now by heart. I think we have said that scripture over and over again. Wherefore the Lord God says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Of course, the background of this story is Eli. Eli, who honored his sons above the Lord. His children were dishonorable to God, and Eli kept quiet. So I said, sometimes honor is not in the first person. Sometimes it's in the third person. That is, sometimes honor is not what I do to you. Sometimes it's what I allow people to do to you. I recall there was a year like that, and there's a particular minister in the body of Christ that I honor so much. And we saw people online trolling this minister. You know, there's just this culture of dragging. And they say they drag. Twitter people. They drag him. And a lot of people kept quiet. And I was watching, I said, this cannot go on. So I defended the man to an extent, to the extent I can. At least everyone I saw, especially those who were influential, I had to drop a comment and say, you know, you were wrong. That is honor. I could be dishonorable passively. Dishonorable would now mean I just take a look at it and say, go call me. In that instance, I'm not dishonorable to the man directly, but by allowing others to dishonor him, I've been dishonorable. That's exactly what happened to Eli. Eli says, salvation is personal. It doesn't concern me and my sons. My son's business. How many times have we acted like that? And God says, I said something that your family will serve me forever. Nah. I take that back. Have you ever said that to someone before? You made them a promise and you said, nah. It's not going to work. It's not you. It's me. Amen. It's not you, it's me. It's not about what you're doing. God says, this one is about what you did. You have honored your sons above me. And God says, he made a statement that concerns us now. Those who honor me, I'll honor. And those who don't honor me, they will never be honored. Profound. Profound statement. During the week, when we're looking at this teaching, I mentioned that one of the ways we honor God is that we don't despise what? Your sleep. We don't despise his corrections. What did God say? How many days ago? He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Hebrews 12:5. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. God, one of the ways we honor God is we listen for his voice. One of the ways God honors us. God say, how will God honor me? God said, those who honor me are honored. So how does God honor a man? With his presence. God, I honor you. With his presence. With his manifest presence. Have you ever had someone show up at your event? Someone you revere so much. And they showed up at your event in honor. Anyone? Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands very well. Yeah. Okay, good. There are people in the body of Christ at large that if they come here for this service, I'm going to feel a lot honored, like 10,000%, if there's anything like that. Because you don't owe me such presence. Hallelujah. You don't owe me such presence. I remember at a teaching meeting in Ibadan some years ago, and a particular pastor came around. I don't want to mention name, but some of you know him. If you are familiar with Chris, what do they call it? I want to say cryptocurrency. Christocentric. You know, and he came around many years ago. Used to pastor in the baptizing church. Yeah. So, and when I saw him at the back, I was like, so you're already in the person I'm talking about. So when I saw him at the back, I was like, oh! I didn't know how to teach again. I was younger. I'm still young. I'm 17 now. Amen. I'm 17 now officially, so I'll be 18 next week. And I was like, I felt it like this. I was on Matthew 17. I can't forget. Transfiguration. I was like, Boya, double. I saw him. So, I am not saying. I began to say, so what I'm saying, I hope you understand. Let me break it down. Because I felt honored. Amen. That created a good relationship between us till today. Amen. If you had your wedding, and you see some people, or your convocation, your induction, and then you see some people come around for you, you'd be like, that's honorable. That's one of the ways God honors us too, with His presence. It's one of the greatest honor. There's a reason why God manifests Himself in some places, more than some places. I'll say it again. God is everywhere, no doubt. Psalm 139, verse 7. Just quickly read that. Psalm 139. Turn your Bibles there. Verse 7 says, where shall I go from your spirit? And how shall I flee from your presence? Who comes to mind? Jonah. David K. Where shall I go from your spirit? How can I flee from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand shall hold me. So he's saying, wherever you want to go, even in hell, he said, God is there. But I think you agree with me that God's manifest presence is not going to be stronger in hell than in heaven. I'm just putting that in quotes. Amen. God is everywhere. In fact, in Romans 1, in verse 19 and 20, it says the invisible things, let's read, of creation. Oh, the visible things of creation are made by the invisible. Romans 1, 19. God is everywhere. And some verse 19, yeah. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even God's eternal power and Godhead, that every man is without excuse. Is it making sense? He's saying, the things you see now, God is using you to show, He's showing you with the things you're seeing, the invisible things. That is, the oceans, the mountains, the stars, they are signs of God's power. God is everywhere. Just take a look at the night sky one day. Look at the sun. The sun is a million miles away from us. And yet, we feel it here. Yeah? Sometimes it's been raining a lot these days, yeah? And sometimes I just look at rain. I love rainy season, by the way. I know some of you don't. I've always loved rainy season. Why should there be heat? Amen? I've always loved rainy season. Except for the... Everywhere is messed up. Everywhere is... Yeah. Apart from that, I want it to rain 24 hours, 7 days a week. I know some of you have been trekking a lot. Feel what the Israelites felt. How do you trek that much and still disobey God? Nobody cost me that. You trek that much from Egypt and you still don't believe. Let's do that one. But what I'm saying is that when you look at the creation, you see God everywhere. He's everywhere. But yet, His presence is more glaring. He's more manifest in some places than others. Even though He's everywhere. The psalmist says, if I go up, you're there. If I go down, you're there. How can I go away from your spirit? And that's why the world is trying to remove God from things. Because they know He's here in everything. And the world is trying actively to remove God. And they go with Big Bang Theory. How did the universe exist? Something just, bah! Two things came together. And then water started flowing. You're smart. And I said, I told one atheist, I believe, upcoming atheist, one time like that. I told him, I said, you even have more faith than I do. My faith is that Jesus died for sins. He rose again. You have eternal life. That God made the heaven and the earth. That's simple. You believe something came together. There was fire and mountain came out. Merlin Pro Max. That takes faith. To think that chimpanzees somehow now became humans. Look at Steniola. Which chimpanzee? I understand. Amen? We are back. I need to replace you with a Chelsea fan. No, we're in the season of Chelsea. Chelsea fans, how do you believe that Chelsea fans can come for cheap as it? No! Amen! So why are cheap as is not still? It's a fallacy. It can't hold true. Something that can't hold true true time is not true. I'm going to probably share some, maybe in the school of ministry. Because how do you just come that you are trying to remove God? It's so unbelievable that everything man is conceiving comes from just a few pounds of, and he was talking about, of gray matter, and he was talking about the brain. I said, there's the brain, there's the mind. Amen. When a man dies and they say he's brain dead and he's confirmed dead, and Abraham still say, he's still talking to Lazarus. And he say, even if you send Moses and the prophets, they will still not believe them. Even if someone rose from the dead, they were still having conversations. With which brain? The one that was buried? Hallelujah. The human body is just a vessel to convey the eternal power of God. It's bigger than our bodies. So the world is trying actively to remove God because they know he's everywhere. Paul says in Acts, he says he's everywhere. Like your poet have rightly said, in him we move. In him we live, move, and have a being. He plays habitations in the earth. Different languages, different people, different cultures, different tribes and tongues. Yet there's one God who told the oceans where to stop. He's everywhere. But why do some people see him more than others? Who do you think he will show himself to? Huh? I didn't hear you. Just who are you? I remember, I was 3 years ago or 2 years ago, one of you seated here right now, he asked me and said, it was after a retreat, and said, Pastor, the way I felt in the retreat, why is it that I don't feel that every service? I said, maybe you. He said, the person said, we don't feel that every service. And I said, nah, don't count me in it. If there's going to be a change, maybe not much for me. Amen? And I told him, I said, because the honor you place on that meeting is different. You know, retreat, you're starting praying in 2 weeks. The meeting has not come. You already listening to teachings. You already preparing your mind for the, we know where you are paying your mind primarily for. You're already cacking off the heart. No shaking. Someone just see you at work. No shaking. He said, what happened? He said, don't worry. I'm strengthened. He said, what happened? Now why are you strengthened? I don't give up. I don't quit. I don't quit. I don't throw in the towel. Why? Because you know what's coming. You're 3 weeks in. You're more countdown. 20 days to go. Not because sometimes not because the expectation. But you know you're preparing for the meeting. You're listening in different cells. We're listening. We're praying. You paid to register, so there's already a value on it. We have teachings that prep us towards it. We have been praying towards it. Then we are going somewhere separate away from where we meet. And then everybody's telling you, we have to receive. We have to receive next year. That somehow forms an honor culture. And because you are honoring God more for that meeting, you're going to see him more. If you take the same honor and put it on every service, oh my God. Imagine having that same experience 104 times more. You won't be here. You won't be on this level. So why is it that God's presence is manifest in some places more than some? Honor. He will honor those who honor him. Are you with me? He is a God who reveals himself. You know, last week or last 2 weeks, I said, he's a God that can hide himself. Remember Isaiah? Remember? Aha. He's also a God who can reveal himself, but in different degrees to different people. Like John 14. Oh my God. John 14. I've not even started today's teaching. John 14. Are you learning something? Verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He's the one that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved my Father. And I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. So Jesus is saying, If you want to see me, you have to want to see me. Let's take a look at how God has manifested himself in what we call the Old Testament. I prefer to call it the law and the prophets. In Exodus 3, which has been a main text for us. Exodus 3. So we say, one of the ways God honors a man is with what? His presence. Thank you. But David, can you help me please? Exodus 3. The story of Moses keeping his father's flock. We've read the story many times. In verse 3. In verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the bond. Sorry, you not do anything. Verse 3. Exodus 3, 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Can we read verse 5 together? And he said, draw not near neither. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. So, let me give it to you. Is God everywhere? Eh? Even in air? Eh? Is God everywhere? Shekinah. But why is it that everybody did not see the burning bush? Moses saw it. He turned aside and God said, okay, this one is turning aside. It's giving me attention. And God said, before you come near, put off your shoes. Moses ran away from Egypt, remember? He felt his brothers should understand that God has called him. How many of you have felt that before? And then you're doing things and you expect parents, siblings, everybody should understand now. Amen. Sometimes God does not tell people what he has shown you. Joseph probably realized that after many years. I said, I should not have spoken. No. I for no talk. He felt the brothers should recognize God's call upon him. But no. Moses was trying to rescue them and they turned on him. Who made you a savior among us? And Moses said, me. See the people I'm dying for. So he left. Then God showed himself to him. This is a manifestation of God. He saw something and he heard something. God's voice marks God's presence. And that's why the old timers would call church gatherings the presence of God. Because if you will not hear God throughout the week, you will hear him in church. So they say, as we are in the presence of God. Not because God is not present in your room, or God is not present on your dining table. Something like that. That would be cool. Or God is not present at work. Some of you, the places where you work, God might not be present. Amen. If you work in the bank where they always remove my money in the name of charges. Like this one go. When I'm not thunder, which one is charges? But I've been to certain places and I felt, nah, this place is God forsaken, man. You don't say that before. This place is God forsaken. The presence of God is there, but the measure is little. Sometimes you go to church meetings, and you know, nah. Well, you know what can be funny? While one is thinking, the presence of God is little here, another is saying, what a great mountain. Why? Because God will show himself to those who honor him. I've told this story before. We had a meeting that year, and someone said, this is the greatest Christian meeting I've ever attended. This is a minister of the gospel. And we had brethren in that meeting who were strifing, who were keeping malice. I said, what happened? The session was too long. And yet another one received the greatest meeting he has ever attended. What was the difference? Was God there? But he will manifest himself to those who honor him. So the next time it looks like the presence of God is missing from my fellowship, from my ministry, I think you know what to do. Next time it looks like the presence of God is missing from my work, from my family, I think you know what to do. Amen. So God says, take your shoes off. Take it off. For the place where you stand is holy ground. This experience only happened to two people in the entire scriptures. It's quite unique. Where God told them, take off your shoes. Who's the second person, please? Bible students. I thought you said you can answer any quiz in the Bible. Let me give you a clue. The fruit does not fall far from the tree. Who do you think it happened to? Turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 5. I just told you the fruit does not fall far from the tree. Amen. What God did to your pastor can happen to you. I thought I'll get a louder amen. Because the experiences ought to be the same. You will see most of Elijah's manifestations with Elisha. Because it's the same spirit. What year did I teach you catching the spirit of the pastor? Eh? Workers meeting 2024. You can catch the spirit. That's what Joshua did. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our enemies? Joshua guided. Now God, you won't fight too. And he said, nah, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face. He understood who that was. And worshipped. And said unto him, what says my Lord to his servant? Can we verse 15 together? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose your shoe from your foot, for the place where you stand. And Joshua did so. You will honor God. And you will see his presence. In all ramifications. In your ministry. You will see his presence. In your fellowship with him, you will see his presence. In your work in the natural, you will see his presence. In your family, you will see his presence. In your health, you will see his presence. For your children, you see his presence. So, that's the second time, and God saying, take off your shoes. And I began to wonder, why? Moses, I understand, okay? But if it's happening two times, that's a message. So I read it again. For the ground where you stand is holy ground. Remember, I was studying this 2021. 2021 was the year after COVID, yeah? Yeah, 2021. And I want to have all of this in books one day. Amen. I'm 17 now. Maybe I'm by when I'm 22. I want to have them in books. Take off your shoes. That's a book. Hallelujah. And so let people buy it. Yes, he has proven it. Why would you take off our shoes? And I like that. Hallelujah. And I began to wonder. God's emphasis was on the ground. He says, the ground where you stand is holy. Holy actually means God is there. Holiness is used for God. Is it making sense? Where God's spirit is called holy. The prophet called it holy. God's church is holy because his presence is there. Else, church is just gathering. A gathering of people is called church. A convocation. A meeting. If God is not there, and what we are just doing is, hey, oh, God, Jesus, go. God is still there, amen? I'm just saying. But if we don't honor him, and we're just gathering here, and we're talking about politics, we're talking about the next election, you know, this country is funny. We started talking election since the last election. We're talking about the next election. It's not like anybody wants to do anything, no. Everybody no one do anything, including incumbent and recumbent and every bent is where. One day we'll have proper leadership in Jesus' name. Amen. I need Bro Pam and Co. to go and do leadership. Bro Faith. Bro Faith has promised me I will not invest in money. And I believe him. Because he's holy. Is he not? Holy faith. You know? So holiness is because God is there. And God says, this ground is holy. So take off what is between you and it. He wants you to have a direct contact with him. Shoe is man-made. Shoe is material. And God is saying, if there's something standing between me and you, take it off. I think that makes more sense now. Right? If there's something standing between you and having direct contact with me and having uninterrupted access with me, take it off. What can that be to us? Many things. For some of us, it's our careers. Careers are good. I'm a career person. I'm always looking to develop myself. And I want people around me to always look to develop themselves too.
In fact, I'm an advocate for a pastor not being a full-time minister, as it were. I'm a full-time minister right now. Amen? But I did work. I did work because I got stopped. Hallelujah. If I rely on you to feed me, you can't feed me. It's the truth. Amen? And I don't eat much. I think my wife can testify to that. She was still reporting me the other day. And it's fine. You're reporting your pastor. Just kidding. Say, hey, is that how you do at home? Bolo fufu. Sure, bolo, you okay? What I'm saying is, my needs are probably... I was telling my name and prophet talk, we talk a lot. I was analyzing some of these things. Say, hey, if I put that on the church of God, we will have sold all these chairs. Amen. It's just the end of kind of prophecy. You know, there's prophesying, there's prophesying. Because they take off your shoes, take off your shoes. Everybody gather your shoes. Take off your instruction. It's an instruction. I hear. No, I hear from here. Because you asked up. So I'm an ambitious person in the natural. But there comes a time where you have to look at if there's something coming between you and fellowship. I'm not going to say this. So, God is telling Moses and Joshua, and he says, take off your shoes. The ground where you stand is holy. You need direct access, direct contact. And so if there's something standing between you and him, he says, take it off. That's an instruction to some of us this morning. Nobody knows you like you. I've seen people that what is standing between them and God are emotional relationships which are lovely. Amen. Lovely. You've got a... That word is... I don't like using word boyfriend. Boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't like it. Actually, I don't. But you've got someone you are emotionally attached to who is not your pastor. Amen. And who is not your father. Not your mother. Not your siblings. You met somewhere. Somehow... Say there is chemistry and physics among you. Kosiwala, which is lovely. Amen. Because you have to get married someday, right? If you're not married yet. I say, hey, should I marry again, pastor? No. Once you are married, you are married. Amen. And you will last together. Ah, if you're not married, why you say amen? Okay, in advance. All right. But if that relationship is affecting your devotion, your fellowship with God, take off your shoes. Take off that which stands between you and the holy ground. Are you listening to me? You know, there's that song. Who sang it? Every time I think about you. You know this song? Every time I read about you. Every time we're singing it one day. And I saw that sister. Who was I start to smile. What do you mean? Every time the sun starts shining, every time the wind stops blowing, every time I feel the anointing, I start to smile. I knew it was not Jesus. Me, I knew. One word at this stage. Let me take this time. I love you. Let me take this time to say I care. So we're saying, I love you, Lord. But she was saying, I love you. I bonnie Lord the law. So I was watching. Prayer meeting. I was not here, by the way. I was like, who is it? Sister E. So I began to watch. I said, why? You are not who you are before. What happened? She said, it's just school stuff. On campus. School stuff. Just, you know, pressure in course. In course is, in medical school, is what you call tests. CA, I mean, what they call it? The public, what do you call it? Tests. What do you guys call it? Tests. Tests. Okay. Yeah, so. It's just the in courses. They are coming so fast. So I said, how is he? He said, the Lord. I'm sorry, that was you see, the Lord. I said, I will not repeat myself again. I always go and meet you, sir. Joko. So we started talking. He said, I will not lie. It's affecting me. Could it affect it? But you need to watch out for that shoe. If it's not making you see God more, it's the wrong shoe. By the way, if you are arriving at this teaching late, we are not talking about Balenciaga. Yeah, shoe. We get what shoes are right now. Amen? What stands between you and Lord, the holy ground. Thank you. So God says, take off your shoes. Could be anything. There are people who are worried about, oh, what have my mates achieved? My mates, this. And that's all your concern. There's a burden on your neck to outperform, to show, probably even in church, to show that you're advancing in life. You owe nobody that. Are you listening to me? You don't owe anybody. Own your journey. Walk with the Lord and He will lift you up. Don't put yourself under any pressure. Do your best and expect the best. And because of that pressure, you start putting your hands into many things. You are doing like 5 jobs at the same time. Amen? I start to be, why are you laughing? I need you one. Sorry. And then 5 jobs at the same time. Unta flower. You are doing events decor. Like a sister. You are still a nurse. A nurse that is doing event decor. That now has cleaning company. That now do agency banking. POS. That now still edit for people. You proofread their work online. You have a pretension. You see, why were you not in church? Why were you late? Why you've not been praying? Amen. Why do you find prayer hard? There's no way you do 5 jobs, even 3, and you don't have an issue with prayer times. Because you come home knackered every day. You're tired. Those who do 1. You need to see prophets when it comes from work. Just 1 work. Or Brother David. He's selling laptop too. These are the ones I'm talking about. Take off your shoes. Hallelujah. We're all laughing and all. But God is putting into your mind that there is something standing between you and Him that is not allowing you to see the best of Him. And this is a good time to take off your shoes. Look at Exodus 19. Are you learning something? So, take off our shoes because we will stand in honor. So God told Moses, take off your shoes, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. That means there's something standing between you and me. If you want to come near the presence, if you want to come near the voice, you want to hear God more, you want to see Him more, you wonder why it looks like your fellowship with Him is so bland, so pale, so colorless. Sometimes you can't really figure out what is in this Jesus that we all extol. What is there? What makes people go to Him every time? What makes people revere Him and shout His name all around the earth? What makes people quit their jobs, travel as missionaries, go over the seas, literally, drop every ambition and say they want to serve Jesus? And you're looking for it. Maybe you have a big shoe on. Maybe there's something standing between you and Him that is not making you feel the holy ground. And God, like God told Moses, take off your shoes. Don't draw near until you take off your shoes. There are criteria for the presence of God. Like I said, God is everywhere, but He doesn't manifest Himself to the same degree everywhere. And whether we like it or not, till we put some honor on His name in our meetings, we will not see Him. If you're a cell leader, you're leading God's people, be intentional about the honor of God in your midst. There are times, maybe because you're 2, because you're just 2 or 3, everybody feels discouraged and you just, let's just do what we want to do and go home. No! No! We'll stay here in honor. We'll see God's presence clearly. Are you listening to me? Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, thus says the Lord, this is what you say to the house of Jacob. I don't like what this does. This is what he says to the house of Jacob, Exodus 19:3. And tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. See what God is saying? He's not saying, I'll give it to you. He said, if you will do this for me, I'll do this for you. Sometimes we think, oh, God just loves us unconditionally. Yeah. I'll honor those who honor me. That's what he said. And those who do not honor me, what will happen to them? Eh? They will be lightly esteemed. They will never see my glory. That's what he says. That's not you. God's presence is open to you. You see him more. You feel him more. You touch him more. So he says, if you will obey my voice, verse 5, and keep my covenant, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which you will speak to the children of Israel. That is, tell them this. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words that the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. This is Israel people, eh? So, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We obey his commandments. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and believe you forever. And Moses told the words to the people. And the Lord God said unto Moses, go to your people and satisfy them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And let them wash their clothes. Imagine God is saying, I'm going to come. And Moses saying, sir, what do we do? He said, wash your clothes. How dirty must have the clothes been? And God says, wash your clothes first. Yes, we do. And be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And you will set the bounds of the people round about. Take it unto yourself. Don't go to the mountain. Don't touch the border of it. Whoever touch the mountain shall die. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of trumpet exceeding loud, so that the people that was in the camp were trembled. They were trembling. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at nether parts of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke therefore ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Amen. Have you ever had someone important coming to your house? How do you take care of the house? How do you start to arrange things? I remember when we were younger. And it doesn't have to be important. Sometimes my schoolmates, and you know, in school, they'll throw you. That your dad does not have money, and they were right. Yes, sir. But to an extent, you just put everything in order. I remember my mom would say, "Ele ton gbale, ton fole." Let me interpret that. It's not that you are sweeping everywhere and you are clearing everywhere. Who's coming? Say nobody. My friends. You know, your teacher is coming from school. And if you went to Bodinas, you know what I'm talking about. Saturday mornings, they were my. I hated Saturday mornings. When I was in boarding house. Because you do inspection. So, inspection means there are selected teachers that are going to come around to inspect your hostels. So, you're going to have to clean all the gutters. That's fine. If that's where you're placed. You're going to have to sweep the dormitory and mop it. Even the decking. Because every hostel has decking. There's no upstairs for federal government colleges. So that people don't jump. It's just deckings. You go to the decking, you will clean everywhere. That's good if that's where you're placed. Where you don't want to be placed is the toilet. It's horrible. Something that they cleaned last week. For something that they cleaned last week, you will still be doing like this. Why? It's holy ground. No. Horrible place. And you have to now submit a bucket of water. Everybody is going to submit a bucket of water. You went to the government college now. Who else went to Flagman College? Yeah. Oh, good. Sheyi, which one? Oh, Ikare? I went to Ikeno. So, in sentence. Okay. So, you saw me the bucket of water. This is not the bucket of water. Yeah, you don't have bucket. Because they've stolen it. You,
half of us don't have buckets. So half of us will steal buckets. Then you have to, you now dress up very well. your short, your khaki is showing Africa. You know Africa. You know Africa. Bro, you know your shorts that time now. Because it's dirty. You know, I'm showing the map of the Oti Tole. You know, they will now ostracize you like you have leprosy. They will not want you to line up because it will reduce the mark of our hostel. So they will send you away. So sometimes when the teachers are like this, we will be running like this. When teachers come like this, we are going like that. So that they will never see me. Parallel lines, never to touch. Now stand beside the bed. The first time I qualified to stand, I was happy. Now stand beside the bed like this. As they are inspecting. You talking, socks, everything. We have not eaten, no? It's after that we're not going to eat. Papa Nakara. It's Papa Nakara everywhere. Why? Why do we give that much devotion? Because the inspectors are coming. So God is saying, if I'm going to come to Israel, you have to put your house in order. I don't just come anywhere. Go wash your clothes. Are you listening to me? Sometimes we think, oh, if God is going to show up, he's going to show up. No, he's not going to. Have you not seen it? Paul was talking about Jacob and Esau. And he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy on. Did mercy just come upon Jacob? No. He fought for it. Esau has to be dishonorable. We saw it on Wednesday. He sold his birthright and he said, what will this birthright do for me? That's what Esau said. He said, what will this birthright do for me? Give me porridge, Joe. What do I need God for? So when he said Jacob had mercy, or God had mercy on Jacob, watch out for the mercy. That was a hard fought for mercy. Say God will show up if he wants to show up. No! Sometimes you've got work to do. He says, if you don't honor me, I will not honor you. That's what the Bible says. We're in a new generation where people feel, oh, no, that God, this is good God. He is my father. He is my father. And that's what you want the pastor to be saying. Hallelujah. He is the father. He is the father. He shows up for you wherever you are, whatever you do. No. Not whatever you do. If you treat him like trash, breaking news, you'll be likely esteemed. We saw it with Saul. God put some honor on his family, made him king of Israel. And Saul for one day did not listen to him. And God said, I'm done with him. Samuel prayed, begged. Say, God, one more chance for Saul. God said, you are wasting your time. I am done with him. I am done with him. There's nothing that scares me more than that. That God's mind can actually change depends on what I do. Being that postmodern philosophy, put it in the dustbin. It's not true. God's word is clear. I'll honor those who honor me. And those who despise me shall be likely esteemed. He told his disciples, he said, don't cast your pearls before swine. He said, I will not give what is holy unto dogs. Meaning that we have a role to play in fulfilling God's plan for our lives. We have a role to play. God is saying, I'm going to be coming. Get ready. Wash your clothes. Now we look at that one sometimes later. In verse 14, that Exodus 19, and Moses went down from the mount to the people and sanctified the people and they washed their clothes. Sanctified means to set them apart. He set them apart and they washed their clothes. Tell your neighbor, wash your clothes. Says very well now. Say, wash your clothes, man. Our clothes, pray for me. Like Hebrews 12. We're there on Wednesday. Learning something? So God's instructions are clear. Take off your shoes. Wash your clothes. Get ready. There's something you ought to do. We are going to see God's honor in his presence. In our families, in our lives, in our work, in our ministries. We have a role to play. As a church. In our meetings. We've got to put our shoes at the door. That which stands between us and him has to stay outside. That's true. May we not begin to see less of him. In Hebrews 12. In verse 29, Moses described. The writer of Hebrews described God. He said, for our God is a consuming fire. It tells you the character of God. Don't miss that one. He is a consuming fire. So he says, go wash your clothes. He described the mountainous experience. You see it from verse 18. He said, the experience was so, it was so great in verse 21. It was so terrible a sight that Moses himself exceedingly feared and quake. Moses did not write that for us. Moses himself exceedingly feared. Some weeks ago, I asked you, how many of you have seen the blue whale before? The largest animal ever. About 300,000 pounds. The tongue of the whale alone weighs as heavy as an elephant. The tongue is as weighty as an elephant, a matured elephant. If an elephant stamps its foot on this floor that we are in right now, they will feel it downstairs. If you've seen a lion before, I have quite a number of times, you fear. And you look at all of these creatures and you know God is greater. And somehow we treat him like he's our mate. So, sometimes we even make people big and God small. I asked a believer one time, I said, what if the governor was coming to your house? The people, if you have an habit of coming late for service, watch it. Ask yourself, what if it was said that the president of Nigeria will be here this morning by 9 as we're starting service? You'd have come here since the day before yesterday. Because you know that a lot of people will be around. And say, it's my church. I can never miss it. My church, strangers will not sit. So something is wrong. Because suddenly you don't see God as that important. You don't see him as worthy enough of your time and energy and resources. And yet we demand some honor from him. Yet we want him to touch our lives. The same way we touch the lives of those who honor him. That's not going to happen. God's idea of fairness is not equality. God's idea of being fair is not to give everybody the same measure. No. Distributing to every man severally as he wills. That's God's idea. He will give to every man as the man desires. 1 Corinthians 12:11. God's idea of being fair is that those who value it more, we have more of it. Elijah had other servants. It was not Elisha alone. I put it to you, Elisha was not even at the front. How did we know Elisha? He just wanted it more. He wanted it more. He said, I want the one of the firstborn. The inheritance of your first offspring. And I just said, but that's not for you. Well, if you can see me being taken away. Elisha said, just that. He said, you will see. Elijah went to the toilet. Elisha was there. How do you know I was here? Like battle, let alone. He went to another city. At some point, Elijah said, wait for me here. Elijah said, oh, now, old trico. I know the year word. He wanted it so much that God had to honor it. If you want God, you will see him. If you despise him, see, it is no news. Call me law preacher, call me old school preacher. If you despise God, you will be likely esteemed. Your honor will not go far. The good news, if you put some honor on his name, on God's things, he will put some honor in your life. How simple can be following him be? How simple can it be? If God is that mighty, if we have a God this mighty, this holy, this graceful, should he not act like he is? That's why I'm worried when you see believers, you're singing. You're singing to him and you're all passive about it. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Kingdom. There is no one. Something you dare not do in a lecture hall. Something when you were presenting your project in your final year, you were shaking. I wasn't. And I've never been in my life. Because there's someone I honor more than everybody. Everybody they put together. And it has always been like that for me. There's a reason why I don't fear man. It's because I fear God. I've been like this for close to 20 years. I remember at some point, I had a teacher in SS1 who said, this is your nonchalant attitude. It was not nonchalant. It was, I'm not going to give you the same respect I'm going to give God. I'm not going to. You're calling for it and I won't give it to you. I'll give you respect as a teacher. That's all you are. When I was developing my project, what did you do?
So I did this. Why are you so confident? Maybe because everybody has been shaking. I don't care. What's the worst you want to do? Give me a C. As long as I pass. You think I wanted to first class? How long have you get me out of this school? My advisor asked me, said, what's the inspiration behind this project? Why do you want to do it? I said, so that I can graduate. If I can graduate without this thing, I will not do it. He laughed. He said, I like that you are sincere. If I can graduate without doing it, you need bother. I'm not prophet. I'm not scholastic. I'm not a Mr. Gigi Tanko. I don't like book. It's God I like. Amen. You see, this one God, he deserves to be honored. Not because of what we can get, but because of who he is primarily. The reason why God's presence is missing in a lot of believers' fellowship. Why it looks like they're just getting trickles and sprinkles of God's presence here and there. Some days you feel overwhelmed with his presence and sometimes you feel empty, pale, boring, colorless, bland. It's because you actually don't put some honor on it. Don't wake up like an animal. You wake up and the first thing you're taking is your phone. You never acknowledge God throughout the day. The only time you acknowledge God that there is even a God is when something happens. Jesus! That the car is about to bash you. Jesus! That's the only time you remember there is a Jesus. The reason why it looks like ministry might be bothersome for some people because you actually don't see the value of being God's mouthpiece. What an honor. What an honor to tell someone, thus says the Lord. I mean, God wants to talk to you and he's using me? Me? Like, guys, can't you see how big that is? God Almighty wants to talk to you. And he spoke to me. He said, I'm not small. We are talking about God. And sometimes we accord us the honor that belongs to him. We accord it to a man. And we want the honor that comes from him. Put off your shoes. That's what I say. You want to see me more? You have to put away that which stands between us. Your clothes, wash them. Get ready. It's the art. It's the preparation. How much faith you have in him is revealed by how much respect you show. Take off your shoes. Wash your clothes. The material things must bow at his presence. God is more honorable than any contract. He's more honorable than any sale. He's more honorable than anything you can ever get. He's more honorable than the family you're trying to build. And it's infinitely bigger than your career. He is. He's bigger than your needs. If you honor him, you will see him. You see. Look at what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace. Look at the Bible. Let us have grace. Hebrews 12:28. That we may serve God acceptably. At least, this is the acceptable service to God. The one that is done with reverence and godly fear. The kind of service that is acceptable to God is the one done in reverence and godly fear. God is looking for those who will serve him with fear. Who will be all in? Sometimes ask yourself, am I all in? Am I just, what kind of Christian am I? Do I actually honor God? There's an old song I used to listen to when I was in teen church. I've forgotten the singer. He says, when we see him, will I be able to stand? Or will I fall on my knees? You know the song? I can't imagine. Casting crowns. Yeah, casting crowns. He said, when I see him face to face, will I sing hallelujah? Or will I just be mute? Say, will I be able to stand or will I just fall on my knees? What a song. Because the day you see him face to face, you will know why he's called the Almighty God. But till then, serve him in godly fear and with reverence. Reverence is not costly. It only takes art. I mean, every time you are in his presence, every time you are doing something that belongs to God, you take it with honor. With honor. You take it with reverence. You are asked to lead worship. You lead it in reverence. You are asked to arrange chairs. Arrange the chairs in reverence. You are arranging chairs for people who are going to come to listen to God. You're doing this for God. Whatever you're doing, you do it as unto God. He's looking for those who are going to be all in. Who are going to serve Him in reverence and with godly fear. The fear of God, they say, is the beginning of wisdom. And like Joshua, if you do that, one day, He'll stop the sun for you. Like Moses, He'll part the seas for you. There's nothing God cannot do for those who put off their shoes before Him. The question is, why do you still have them on? Take off your shoes with godly reverence. Praise Him like He's the Almighty God, because He is. Take off that which is between you and Him, and let your worship go before Him like a sweet smelling fragrance. Like I said earlier, and as you do that, He'll part the seas for you. He'll bring waters from the rock for you, and the sun will stop for you. Can we pray together this morning? Just pray for yourself.